And I want to say to all of us here this morning, it's not just the men, every man, woman, and child, especially in this broken down, messed up culture that we live in today, we're tempted with bitterness. Bitterness, friend, is drinking the poison and hoping the other man dies. The root of bitterness is always found in discontentment that came from comparison.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
Can I share something with you? When I'm talking to somebody about their soul, I don't say, and if you do, I'm not faulting you. I don't say, do you want to know how to go to heaven when you die? I say, do you want to know how to be reconciled to a holy God? You're separated from God. I'm not a salesman trying to get them to buy my vacuum cleaner. Here's heaven and here's hell. Here's my vacuum cleaner and here's the other guy's. Mine's better than his. Do you want to know what to do to get mine? This is more serious than that, church. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in verse number 15, he says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. It is not the grace that fails. It is you and I. And that word lest is a very strong warning. And he said, you've professed faith in Christ. You claimed him as your Savior. But I want to give you a warning lest you come short of his grace. And here's the very simple statement that I wrote in my notes. And you're going to have to hear me out or you'll leave confused. And I'd never want anybody to leave confused. Coming up short. Now let me explain as simply as I can what I want you to understand. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Would you all agree with me on this beginning of the journey? There are people who claim to be saved and they are not. Amen. There are many in this congregation who would say, I had a profession of faith, but there was no change in my heart. And later on, I came to realize I needed to be born again. So there are those who profess faith in Christ, but are not. There are those who are saved, and as they walk with God, they are veered to one side or to the other. And really, what the Apostle Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, is addressing is both of those. He's saying to these second generation Hebrews, some of you say you're saved, and you're not. You just followed the faith of somebody you admired and respected. You just got down on your luck and you ended up in the hospital and somebody came and visited you and you repeated a prayer trying to get out of the fix you were in. Can I get a witness? Your grandma died and you were sad and you were on the third pew and her casket was up here and somebody played on your emotions and got you to mumble through a prayer. There was no awareness of the fact that you were a sinner needing to be reconciled to a holy God. And so you just wanted a fix. You with me? And you say, preacher, where am I? Where am I? You're going to have to ask a holy God where you are. I am here to ask you this morning, is there evidence in your life that you have a relationship with a holy God? If all that I had to prove that I was married was a marriage certificate, nobody in here would think that was, you might have said, preacher, y'all went to the courthouse and signed some papers, but that's not a marriage. Not trying to hurt anybody who's in a stinky marriage. There's lots of them these days. And we want to do it God's way, Brother David, and teach the younger generation how to do it God's way. But you'd say, preacher, you need more than a marriage certificate. The preacher's here to tell you this morning, you need more than a baptismal certificate. You need more than a card where you join the church. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, if you're born again and you're walking this path with Him and you fail of the grace of God, you fail, you come short of what He has intended for you, you're going to have to go back to some earlier verses in my Bible. It's just up the page. You're going to have to go back to some verses. And if you are born again and you have come short of His grace, you're not living like one of His children. You're not living like one of His children. You're coming short of His grace. Do you want to know what the Bible says earlier in this chapter? There will be chastisement. There will be chastisement. You say, Brother Raines, describe it and I'll let you know whether or not I've had chastisement. No, He'll deal with you differently than He'll deal with you. I had four, Brother Mike, and I dealt with them all very differently. They were all different personalities. And if I tried to deal with number one the way I dealt with number two, it'd create a mess. The rules were the same, but how I dealt with each one and their personal needs was very, very different. So I am here to tell you, if you say you were born again and you are coming short of the grace of God, you need to look for one thing in your life. Listen to the preacher, please. Chastisement. Do you sleep peacefully at night out of fellowship with God? Do you walk in this world as a child of darkness and are not troubled by the fact that you claim to be a child of light? I've got to tell you, if you claim to be His and He's not dealing with you the way you would deal with a child, something is bad, wrong in your life. I want you to, this is how serious this is. This is how serious this is. The word that God, and I want you to be careful how you hear it, and I'm going to be careful how I say it. Here's how serious this is. The word He uses in Hebrews is bastard. I didn't say that word at home. I didn't say it at my public job. I didn't say it around my children. I only say it here because it's God's word. In God's way of looking at it, it's a holy word to say, you're not mine. You say, Brother Raines, why are you staying on this point? Our world makes a joke out of this phrase. Who's your daddy? Yeah. The world treats it this lightly. My baby daddy. Church, that's a mockery. Look at the preacher. I'm not a baby daddy. Do you know what that means? You just go around Hendersonville fathering children. I'm not trying to impress you with, I'm telling you this is serious business. Who is your heavenly Father? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Do you know where I'm going to have lunch today? At my Father's. Mom knows how stressful and what's heavy on my heart and mind on the Lord's Day. And nevertheless, she texted yesterday and she said, we sure wish y'all could come to the house for lunch today. And I said, I'd love to have lunch with my daddy. Are y'all with me? So I'm begging you, don't let a prayer you mumbled through and there was no relationship with God. Don't let the fact that you walk these roads and drive these roads and you watch what you want to, you listen to what you want to, you laugh at what the world laughs at. Your life is in and of the world and yet you claim to be His. Don't go to hell with a false profession. This fatherhood thing is such a mess in our culture. Entire TV shows are built on the fact of paternity tests. You say, how do you know that? Well, I assure you, it's not what I would ever choose to watch. I have been confined to a doctor's office before and had to watch that foolishness. It got so nasty one day I took my chair out in the hall. And a nurse came through and she said, are you the hall monitor? I said, no, I didn't want to watch the filth on the television in the waiting room. I've never heard such screaming and vulgarity from a society that mocks father. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Because if I, as the enemy, condemn this entire culture's view of what a daddy is, then you've got a whole new set of issues to come to trust a heavenly Father. You've got a whole new set of obstacles to overcome to trust God. When I stand here to say God's like a heavenly Father, half of my congregation goes, oh no, really? You're saying, preacher, you're making that up. Oh no, I could open the floor right now and they'd say, he's talking about me. We've sat at tables. We've sat at pews. We've knelt at altars. We've gone to Waffle House and I've said, I am sorry for what you grew up in, but here's what God is a heavenly Father. Don't become discouraged. And get out of the way. And let me say one more thing about discouragement, and then I'm going to look at the second one. Men, I want to say this to the daddies. If we can't win at it, we don't want to do it. That was my feeble attempt at humor. You want to know why some men are in and out, hot and cold, on and off, up and down spiritually? They want to be big dog. And this, you say, preacher, you're making that up so it fits the text. Oh no, I've had them sit at the table. They'd say, preacher, this is too hard. I said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it's hard, it's because you're walking in the flesh. Do you know who I have helping me? The Holy Spirit. Where does He draw His power from? Heaven. I've got everything I need to be a Christian. Amen. And so men, if you've backed up and said, I'm tired of failing, let me tell you something. A, number one, make sure you save. Say amen. Number two, plug into Jesus, plug into the Bible, plug into the church, get yoked up with a brother in Christ, and you can walk this way. I showed you last week, two weak people can lean on each other if they have to. Don't use it as an excuse. Now look at the next verse, please. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I want to preach for about 12 to 15 minutes and I'll be through on bitterness. And I'm using the word trouble you. Lest any root of bitterness. Listen to me. I believe it's Colossians. If it's not, please forgive me. God specifically said to the daddies, He said, be not bitter against your wives. Men, I'm here to tell you this morning, we, more than the ladies, are tempted with bitterness. It's part of our makeup. We're tempted with bitterness. And I want to say to all of us here this morning, it's not just the men, every man, woman, and child, especially in this broken down, messed up culture that we live in today, we're tempted with bitterness. Bitterness, friend, is drinking the poison and hoping the other man dies. Bitterness is drinking the poison and hoping the other man dies. That one who you have justified your bitterness toward is going on sowing their dirty seeds, doing their dirty deeds, destroying other people's lives, and they're taking great glory in it because that's how messed up they are. Now, I don't know who has made you bitter, but I am here to beg you and I am here to plead with you. Give it up. Give it to the Lord. Do not let bitterness destroy you. The root of bitterness is always found in discontentment that came from comparison. Bitterness always comes from discontentment that is a result of comparison. If everybody on my road is driving junk, I'm good with that. Until somebody shows up in a 2018 F-250. Y'all with me? What's that amazing red color they've come up with? Cinnamon apple. What's it called? You like it too? Oh, are you bitter? I'm struggling. If we're all driving junk, I'm good, Aaron. Let's just rattle trap up the road. Man, one dude shows up in a dually and I'm going, what's up with that? I support missionaries. He drinks. I'm good to my kids. He's using it on cigarettes. I take care of my wife. He's buying joints. Come on, somebody help me. You say, Brother Rains, are you real? Psalm 73, here's what Asaph said. I was envious at the foolish. He was just honest. He said, I started looking at these fools. Here's what he said. I looked at the fools in Henderson County and I got envious. Why? You got a sin nature. You got a sin nature and the eye of man is never satisfied. Bitterness comes from discontentment. Discontentment comes from comparison. Okay? The root of bitterness, the reproduction. Look at your text. Trouble who? Would you answer me? Trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. Who was troubled? How many were defiled? Many. The root of bitterness is discontentment, which comes from comparison. The reproduction of it is many are defiled. You let a preacher get bitter, many will be defiled. You with me? You let a man in the pulpit get bitter, many in that congregation will be defiled with his bitterness. You let a head of a home get bitter, many in that home will be defiled. if you're the head of your home, either because God ordained you to be, or by default, you've had to step up and take that leadership. Can I beg you to do something? Pray every day. Fast once a week. Come to this altar every time we have church. Do whatever you have to do to fight bitterness in your life. It is not worth it. It's not worth it. It feels good. It's like that pride I preached about on Wednesday. It feels good. My flesh enjoys being bitter at you. But it destroys me. And it defiles many. I've seen entire families destroyed by a mother or a father's bitterness. What is the remedy for bitterness? Confess it and forsake it. I will not take the time to share with you. I'm not ashamed to tell it, but I won't take the time this morning. I won't take the time to tell you about my biggest battle with bitterness. But Miss Mary, for 6 weeks, I said, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. And every time I said it, my jaw was clenched a little bit tighter. P.S. from the preacher, I'm not real smart, but the tightness of your clenched jaw tells me whether or not you're bitter. Why? Because I've been there. And after 6 weeks, Miss Emily, I fell on my face before God. And Brother Eric, I said, I'm bitter. You know what he did? He took it. Just like when David confessed his adultery, he said, I have sinned. Nathan the prophet said, God has taken your sin. Preacher, I said, I'm bitter. He said, I took it. Well, y'all know me. I said, can't we talk about it? I thought you wanted to hear all the reasons I was bitter. I'd really love to tell them to you. He said, no, all I was waiting on you was to say you was bitter. It's gone. Can we move on to other things? Could you pray for some sinners? Jira just said, could you pray for some sinners? Because if you're bitter, you're not worried about sinners. No, sir. You're not worried about a brother in the church who's going through a valley. When you're bitter, you're focused on one person. Y'all know who it is, don't you? So the remedy is to confess it and forsake it. Listen to me carefully. There's a tree in South America. It's called the matador. Matador to us sounds romantic and majestic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Da, da. Matador means killer. The name of the plant is killer. Do you know how it survives? It finds a living organism and right beside it puts out its roots, coils around that tree. Some articles you read about it says it chokes it. It's not able to choke it. It robs it. It goes around that tree. Its leaves are bigger than the host. Its roots are deeper than the host. And here's how it survives. It draws moisture that was meant for the tree. Its leaves absorb sunlight that was meant for the tree. And when it is killed, the host tree, it puts out one gigantic bloom as if to say, I won. And I'm begging the men. I'm begging the women. I'm begging the young people. I'm begging our children. There are people in here, your story is horrible. Your story makes me weep. We fellowshipped before church and we literally stood there on the verge of being sick at our stomach talking about friends and family that are self-destructing. This is what she said. Another one in my family's gone. Another one's gone. There are stories in this church that they break my heart, Seth. And many in our church, I'm sure of our guests that are here this morning, have been hurt. And you compare your story to somebody else and it makes you discontent, and that discontent breeds bitterness. Let me tell you something, it's not worth it. It's a matador. It's a killer. Its roots are sucking up moisture that God meant for you. Its roots are sucking up moisture that were meant for you. Its leaves are grabbing sunlight that were meant for your plant. And it's going to put out a giant bloom one day and celebrate the fact that it got another one. Don't give in to discouragement. Don't bail out of the race. Don't fail of the grace of God. Don't let discouragement get you. Don't let disturbance of bitterness ruin your life and your family. And you need to listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you've preached on bitterness in this church before. Yes, I have. Do you know why I preached on it again this morning? I need it. You need it. We all do. Preacher Raines, the Lord helped me so amazingly years ago with a bitterness of root that I thought that I had conquered bitterness. I hope that doesn't sound too immature. I thought I had the victory over it. Recently, Desiree, recently, I was meditating on a situation and it didn't turn out like I thought it should. And I started comparing. And Miss Pam, I felt a root. You ever laid a pea in a dish of water or a little, your kids ever done this at school? And boy, after they get the conditions just right, and I promise you the enemy will make sure the conditions are just right. You ever watch that little thing open up and a root go that way and a sprout go that way? A little tiny root and a sprout on the top of it of bitterness got up in my heart. Years after I thought he had given me the victory. You know what I did? I did what I did years ago, Eddie. I said, that's bitterness. I recognize it. God, get it out of my life. Let me tell you something. Those mudslides came at a moment's notice. And I don't want discouragement. And I don't want defilement. I don't want anything to just overtake me. I don't want to leave the house one evening and think it's fine, only to come back and find out it wasn't as stable as I thought it was. I want to be, here's my word, diligent. I want to be watching. I want to be careful. I want to be, have you ever seen that thing, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? The older I get, the truer I think that is in the Christian walk. You know what they taught me? You know what Miss Marietta Gregory taught me in Tampa, Florida, Tabernacle Baptist Church, 1968? You want to know what she taught me? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you? Any of us that's in trouble today, you want to know why? We weren't careful with what our eyes were watching.
That's right.
We weren't careful with what we heard. We weren't careful what we did or where we went. God help us. Be diligent. Be diligent. Men, be diligent. If you're a daddy, my goodness, you get to be like God. Oh, I've made 1,000. The only book I'll ever write is the 1,000 mistakes I made as a daddy. But boy, when they put that youngin' in my arms the way they did Brighton to you a few months ago, I'm a daddy. Shazam. I'm a daddy. You get to be like God. You get to be their provider. I wanted Natalie, Stacy, Adam, and Emily to have the best view of God they could, Trevor, because they were getting it from me. Hey, man, I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be disturbed by bitterness.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.